Yeah! Here we go now, baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Before You Bet right here on the Covers YouTube channel. Make sure you hit that subscribe button right down there. We got a lot to get into today. A pretty ugly looking Thursday night football game, but still lots of good betting opportunities for this one. We have four separate picks for that. Three separate guests. Josh Ingles will be here. Davis Sanchez will be joining me to discuss some of his favorite bets for tonight, for the weekend, and some of the hot topics in the NFL. And in the second half of the program, Brad Powers will be here to tackle some of these higher profile college football games going down on Saturday. Okay, that is enough small talk. Let's get right into it. Let's bring in my first guest, Josh Ingles, my coworker here at Covers. We call him Jingles. He is a wild man. He covers a little bit of everything, including curling coming up. So you curling bettors, you're going to want to follow Josh.
Don't you throw me under the bus like that. I've curled. Not play curl. I've curled. But no, I've never wagered on the rocks, bud.
I have curled as well. It is fun. I am very much looking forward to this year's Scotty Tournament of Hearts. Okay, that is enough curling talk here, Josh.
Before we finish curling talk, if you ever see someone wipe out while trying to sweep, it might be the funniest bail ever in sports. Just feet out, right up, dangerous and laughable.
Yes, that is a concussion waiting to happen there. Okay, now that is enough curling talk. Let's get into the Thursday night football betting action. I'm going to hit leadoff here for us. I am all over the home team. Give me the San Francisco 49ers to cover the 10.5 point spread. They have been laying the smack down at home going back about a season and a half now. This is a big number, but I'd like them to continue this home field domination that's seen them win 14 of their last 15 home games, winning the 14 games by an average of 16.2 points. Many of these games, not even close, as 10 of them were decided by more than 14 points. They are 13-2 against the spread in these games. In terms of how these teams match up, this is a game between a 49ers offense that's second in yards per play versus a Giants defense that's 27th in yards per play allowed. And one of those games for New York came against Josh Dubs. 49ers generating the fifth highest pressure percentage. The Giants have already allowed 10 sacks on the season. And we know this one, and yes, it is cooked into the spread. We know it. Too many injuries here in a short week for the Giants. Saquon Barkley out. Two starters on the offensive line are out. I think the Giants are going to have a really hard time scoring in this one, going up against a San Francisco team that was number one in points allowed on their home field last season. So give me the 49ers to cover that 10.5 point number. Josh, what is your best bet for Thursday Night Football?
Yeah, let's go Giants team total under 16.5. I'd play this to about minus 115, minus 120. There might be some 17s out there, probably in the minus 130 range. But like you said, the injuries are huge. Saquon was 25% of this team's offensive output. And now an offense that scored 0 points in its first six quarters, never traveled home after the Arizona game. They've been in Arizona for the whole time, so they didn't have to cross-country travel. Short rest, faced an elite defense, and their O-line injuries are very problematic. Jones, Daniel Jones's rushing and Barkley's total yards account for 38% of this team's offense. The Giants lost starting left guard Ben Bredsen to a concussion. He's ruled out. They lost left tackle Andrew Thomas. He was inactive last week. He has a hamstring injury, also ruled out. You're talking about Daniel Jones. You're talking about an offense that is probably going to give more snaps to, I mean, Hyatt probably deserves more snaps, but I mean, this is still Slayton, Campbell, and Hodgins getting a lot of snaps with no left side of that offensive line. It could be ugly. Jones, no run game. I'm not leaning on Jones, who right now is ranked bottom third in CPOE. There's not a lot to like, and I'm sure that's a lot of the reason you're laying 10.5 points on the 49ers.
Yeah, it could be ugly. I hope it is ugly. Let's now take a trip to Prop City, my favorite prop for the game. I'm going to take Daniel Jones to throw over half an interception, coming in at minus 114. Old Danny Dimes might be going back to his roots here. Three interceptions already on the season, and he has not been good in his career under the bright lights of prime time. 15 career picks in 11 career primetime games. Giants likely to be playing from behind, plus no Saquon Barkley. I think that's going to equal more pass attempts for the Giants, going to be looking to play catch up in this one. And that will increase the likelihood of San Fran picking one off, which is something they do quite a bit. 49ers averaging 1.26 picks per game since the start of last season. Four picks in two games already this season. Last season, they tied for the league lead with 20 picks. So I think Danny Dimes is going to get picked off in this one. Minus 114. Josh, before we let you out the door, your favorite bet for Sunday, what are you looking at?
Before we jump over to Sunday, Blitz is running a solid play on Brock Purdy under 7.5 rushing yards, minus 115. That's a big one there. We're looking for some victory formations, possibly losing yards on that. So that's another prop to look at. But as of Sunday, right now, I'm happy to get New Orleans at plus 2. I know some money could come in at Green Bay, but at this point, because of the injuries, I think I'm happy on the 2 right now. Jordan Love, I'm not happy with. He's been very lucky, and that confidence is going up. Passer rating, TDs, 1. But this is a guy 31st in completion percentage, 31st in completion percentage over expected at minus 11%. And one of the scariest things right now about Jones, I mentioned the confidence. That's not really good right now because he has a 25% aggressiveness rating. That's a next gen stat that says how many balls do you throw within a 1 yard window? So one of every 4 balls, he leads the league in throwing balls into tight windows. He's not that good of a QB. The aggression will pick up him versus a New Orleans defense that has been very turnover heavy in the past. 3 interceptions on the year. And this is a Green Bay team that beat Chicago. That doesn't count. They blew a 24-14 fourth quarter lead versus Desmond Ridder and the Falcons. If you saw what Jordan Love did in the final 3 possessions, this is not someone I really want to back in crunch time. And the Saints have just been winning tight games. They're on a short week. That's obviously priced in. But Jordan Love's 3 possessions in the fourth quarter in that Atlanta game were ugly. 3 plays out, 2 yards. Then he muffed the snap on the next one. They took an offensive penalty for whatever you call that. They didn't snap the ball, so he just jumped off the side. So that was a 3 and out for 5 yards. And then they had 4 plays and a turnover on downs. They had 0 yards. Jordan Love did not do anything with the offense and needed it. And then obviously Watson, Bakhtiari, big question, Elgin Jenkins, and first-round rookie Luca Van Ness is injured. So there's a lot going on. Think Jones and Watson could get in, but wouldn't be surprised if Bakhtiari and Elgin Jenkins don't suit up again this week.
Indeed. I love the under in that game. I also like the opportunity you can get to tease the Saints through both the 3 and the 7. Good looking spot right there. Okay, Jingles, what else you have going on over at Covers that people can check out?
Bad X release show every Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, 9:15. Picking off, I don't know, some great plus EV plays from the Bat X and Derek Hardy. And then we're using his football projections for the Blitz for every primetime game. NHL starting up. I'll be doing Coco and Jingles too with Carlo Colaiacovo. As everybody knows at this time, if you work in the industry, right now is banana time for work and everybody's busy.
It is bananas. Josh logging around 20 hours a day for us here at Cover. So we will let him get back to work. Josh, thank you for joining us. We'll catch you again next week.
All right, Joe, take care. Appreciate it, guys.
Yes, sir. The man right there. Give him a follow on social media. Okay, let's keep on rolling and bring in my next guest. You know him if you watch football up here in Canada. He is on TSN breaking down the games for both the NFL and CFLer. He is a 3-time Grey Cup champion and former San Diego Charger. What is going on, Davis? How you making out?
I'm just banging away, my man. All is good. Good to be here. What's happened? I heard you're... You're locked. You didn't feel apprehensive about you missing the 10 or at least having to play the 10.5 now. I'm sure you got the 10 earlier, but
not when I look at. Oh, Davis, you can hit the mute button on your computer. I don't know if it's coming through differently because you don't have headphones on. You hear me come through. So what we'll do is we'll let you talk on this one because this is your segment. So let's take a look at this Thursday night football game. The Giants have looked awful. so far this season. So do you think they're as bad as they have looked? And how do you think they compete with the 49ers here tonight?
Yeah, I like the under in this game a lot. Just to make sure you guys can hear me here. Is it good? You can hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, great. So I like the under this game. A big part of this game, and it kind of just was something I was looking at last night and this morning. And, you know, most folks understand this. The NFL, you know, Tuesdays, not Monday, you play Sunday, and Tuesday is the player's day off. Now, everyone goes in Mondays. You go in and get your treatment and watch film, whatever you want to do. It's a day off, but everyone still goes in. But Tuesday is an actual day off. Now, you know, you're getting everyone back in the building Wednesday. So really, for Kyle, I heard Kyle talking. He said the first time he saw his guys is Wednesday morning. Now they're playing Thursday. So I think that takes away some of the edge that, you know, we all cook into everything that's the almighty Kyle Shanahan. But I think that just because of – it affects both teams, obviously. But when Kyle is known to be, you know, the best play caller or schemer there is and offensively, I think that takes away something from the Niners. And so offensively at least, I do like the under in this game. I also think – CMC, I think if you look at how many touches, he didn't come off the field last game. So McCaffrey, obviously such a huge part of their offense. If you look at the big picture and the NFC, where they're at, they're playing the Giants tonight. They're not. I don't see them really wearing out Christian McCaffrey. They can't. Why would you? You're going to win this game, you know, likely anyway. I just don't think you risk him after playing as much. He's played, and Elijah Mitchell had zero snaps last week. I think only him and the kicker or something didn't play, one of the backups. So he got zero snaps. Likely he gets more touches. I just don't think you wear out CMC. So I like McCaffrey unders a lot. Like I like McCaffrey. That's my play of the day. I think it's McCaffrey. Not I think. I know it's the play of the day is McCaffrey under. And I like the under in the game as well. I just think this is, at the end of the day, when there's less preparation, defense is ahead of offense, right? Like that's known throughout football. The defense is ahead just because there's more execution in the offense and more, you know, just adrenaline and you know, the other stuff that defensively you can charge up. But if you're missing scheme, it makes a difference.
Okay, so a low-scoring game potentially will not bode well for 49ers covering a double-digit spread, but time will tell on that one. What about these Giants, though? So, as I said off the top here, they've looked like complete garbage to start the season. They get it absolutely handed to them at home by the Cowboys in their season opener, and then, you know, give them a little bit of credit for the comeback last week, but it was against the Cardinals. Do you think that they are truly this bad?
I mean, yeah, the Cardinals game is it's a tough one to really the tale of two different halves. I think this, and looking at this match, you saw more from Wink. And Wink loves to pressure, right? That's, you know, everyone knows Wink Martindale's pressure. Well, the first 2 weeks of the season, we've seen more cover three from the Giants defense than anybody else in the NFL. And it's actually by a long shot. I think it's like 20% more snaps than anybody else, which is a massive jump. So they haven't sacked the quarterback yet or turned the ball over. So just to your point, if you're a pressure team and Wink, that's what Wink does, and you can't sack the quarterback or pressure the quarterback, you're in trouble. And on the back end, you know, their cover guys, what's my guy from USC, but they got Flott playing outside. He's the third corner. And my guy from U, his name's, I'm missing his name right now, but it doesn't matter. He's their starting outside corner. He bumps in and plays nickel on third down. I just don't think, and he's a, you know, an older guy. I just don't think that, you know, they can hold up in man-to-man and cover three, which is the two things that they played the most of over the first 2 weeks. I don't think they can hold up. And that's an issue. So if you have to blitz to get pressure, because they, you know, they have they signed, they drafted Thibodeau to get to the quarterback, right? And they signed, they have an expensive D line, but they can't get to the quarterback. So it's forcing them to have to you know, play some man coverage. Like I said, second most snaps of man, and I don't think they have the back end to cover in man.
Okay, that's it for Thursday Night Football. Looking ahead to Sunday, is there one play in particular that stands out to you, something that you are going to hammer on?
The Dikembe Mutombo, that's it for Thursday night. One more, Joe. George Kittle. Look, if we do see, Kittle didn't get a lot of touches last game. I would expect him, and in cover three, that's a lot open for the tight end, especially one sail route. Sail route is the number one big play versus cover three, a sail route. And I expect if he gets one of those, he'll go over his total. One sail route from Kittle, he goes over his total. He will go over tonight. George Kittle will go over for certain tonight. Lack of touches last week, and then the defense that the Giants play. So that's it for Sunday, my man. The Giants. I listening to the presser. We all heard Justin Fields and whether
the Bears.
The Bears, and he did throw his coach under the bus when he said coaches and coaching was what he. One of the reasons for his lack of success when he said that, he certainly was doing that. He tried to backtrack a little bit. But one of the things that he said was clear to me was that he was just going to go out and play. He basically said, F it. I'm going to go out and play. Well, we've all seen Justin Fields for years now. What does that mean when he just goes out and plays and says, F it, and I'm not going to think anymore? He's going to tuck it, and he's going to run. So I would expect Fields overs in everything. I would expect I like his yards overs too, and even his interceptions overs. If he really is going to take that mindset, because it sounds to me like he's fed up with the coaches and fed up with what he's been, all this crap he's hearing, and he's going to play football. So slanging it, running it, and to your point, probably turning the ball over as well.
What do you think that type of commentary from him means for his future? Though that, like, he doesn't want to listen to some sort of game plan. He just wants to go out there and freestyle. And the fact that he gets up there, even if you do feel that way, those type of things usually don't end well when you kind of throw the coaching staff under the bus. And there's probably other coaching staffs around the league thinking, I don't want to bring this guy onto my team. So do you think this time next year, Justin Fields will be a starting quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah, good question. Look, it's going to depend on what happens with his staff, but that was a big part of what's going on, what happened this week. That those statements were bold and telling. I don't think, if we didn't think things were going well before, it seemed to hit a boiling point. So I severely doubt that he's their guy, or the staff will be gone and they'll move on and keep the quarterback. But I can't see Fields working out unless something drastically changes. Because it's what he said basically. I don't, all the stuff they're telling me, it's too much and it's not working and I'm not being coached right. That's basically what he said.
Okay, Brad Powers coming up here in a couple of minutes, but Davis, let's play a little bit of a game here with the 2-0 teams and the 0-2 teams. So per CBS Sports, teams that start the season 0-2 make the playoffs just 11% of the time. So a couple of standout teams that have started 0-2, we're not going to include the Texans, Cardinals, and Bears in this conversation, but which of these 0-2 teams do you think can rebound to make the playoffs? We had the Vikings and Chargers. They play on Sunday. The Broncos, Bengals, and Patriots. I think there's an obvious one in there, but I want to know what you think.
Which of the 0-2 teams can bounce back and make the playoffs?
Yes, yeah. Vikings, Chargers, Broncos, Bengals, and Patriots.
Obvious one out, because that's we all think the Bengals will make the playoffs. I like what I've seen in the Patriots. I would say the Patriots. They're in a tough, in regards, I would actually take this back. In regards to making the playoffs, the Patriots are the best of those teams other than Cincinnati. But they play in such a difficult division that's not as likely. Probably the Vikings. I would say the Vikings could bounce back and make it. I'm not a fan of, that team and Kirk Cousins, but I would say the Vikings are a shot, and I think the best team of that group, I think we agree, is what's the best team in there? Cincinnati's the best group of those, obviously.
You go with Cincinnati. I mean, you got to be concerned about the Joe Burrow calf injury. He kind of downplayed it after the first game of the season. He said it was good enough. Then he came right out after the second game and said it is not good enough, essentially. So if that's going to linger like it has, that might come back to bite them. Everyone knows how competitive the AFC is. The AFC North, very competitive. So probably still the Bengals. Of course, I picked them to win the Super Bowl, but I would say don't sleep on the Minnesota Vikings. I know they're in an 0-2 hole, but I think they're not as bad as that record indicates. They won the yards per play battle in each of their first two games to start the season. I kind of think they're undervalued here on Sunday against the Chargers. But yeah, I would go with the Bengals or the Vikings if I need to pick one. Now, on the other side of things here, you take a look at the teams that are 2-0, and we're not going to include the Eagles and the 49ers and the Cowboys. We know that they're all good teams. But out of the teams who have started 2-0, of these teams, who do you think is the biggest fraud? Commanders, Falcons, Saints, or Bucks?
Oh gosh, I have to go with the Saints. I'm just not a car believer. Look, the Falcons are young, so the easy answer there is to probably say the Falcons, just because of, you know, they have a young roster. They don't have a proven quarterback, and you know, but they're doing it, you know, with a lot of young, talented players. That those guys are just going to get better. I think for, you know, the Saints, you got to keep that in mind, right? The Falcons guys will just, they'll get better as the season goes on. They should, or at least develop. And the Saints, from a Saints standpoint, they're probably, you know, this is the best you're getting with Derek Carr. And he sure as hell hasn't been great, or he hasn't even been good. And also another note, slam any Michael Thomas unders you have. I went back and looked at the tape. Michael Thomas cannot get off press at all right now. He cannot run. He had like 14 targets in the first half, and had a huge night. If you look at the numbers, people probably think he had a big night. He had about 15 targets and had about 40 yards in the first half. He can't run anymore. So that's an issue as well. And they're paying him a lot of money.
Yeah, the Saints will go as far as that defense will take them, I suppose. I would have to say the biggest fraud so far this season, I got to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I thought they were going to be in contention to be the worst team in the league with the Arizona Cardinals. Now, you give them credit, I guess, for getting off to a 2-0 start. Now I'm going to slam them. They did get outplayed in week one versus Minnesota. And I'm not going to go too crazy off of beating the embarrassment that is the Chicago Bears at home there in week two. So, yeah, we'll see how the Eagles look on Monday Night Football, or how the Bucs look versus the Eagles on Monday Night Football this week. Okay, Davis, that does it for today. Thank you very much for joining us. Best of luck with your bets on the weekend, and we'll catch you again next Thursday.
I'll have these next week.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. Thank you, buddy. That's how she goes when you're producing live content here on YouTube. We figured it out. Props to producer Mick on the ones and twos back there. Okay, let's shift gears here a little bit. Take a look ahead to what should be an exciting weekend of college football. Let's bring in our guy, Brad Powers, down there in sunny Las Vegas. Brad, how's your Thursday going so far?
Going well. Look forward to the segment. It's sunny today, but yesterday we had a hailstorm. I've been here 7 years. Haven't seen that before.
Las Vegas? I'm up here in Nova Scotia. No hail yet. It's almost jogging pants season now up here in the Halifax region of Nova Scotia. Okay, so quick reminder, guys, if you missed Monday's show with Brad, Brad comes on every Monday and gives us some early looks for college football, bets that he recommends jumping on right away. He gave out San Jose State +3.5, Jacksonville State -6, and Texas Tech -5. And a half. Today, we're going to take a look at some of the top games, and I have a couple questions, Brad, on the back end of the segment. So let's get started here. Who else are we going to start with? Deion Sanders in Colorado, a massive underdog here, 21-point spread versus Oregon. How do you see this one shaping up?
Yeah, I like the favorite here in Oregon. I'll lay the 21. Obviously, let's talk about Travis Hunter being out for Colorado. He's that rare non-quarterback that should move the needle as far as the point spread. I think at minimum a point. And some people that I respect have moved it 2 points as far as downgrading Colorado's power rating. So is that totally factored in the market? I'm not sure at this point. And also keep in mind, it's already a depth-shy Colorado team. So that was always the concern. If they could stay healthy, then maybe they can overachieve. But if they get banged up, then the drop-off from their starters to their second string is pretty significant. No, I mean, pretty significant from Travis Hunter to the backup there. So that's big. And I also think whenever you got a 21-point favorite, are you looking for margin? Do you have motivation for margin? I think with the hot start for Colorado and all the publicity, Oregon, if they have the ability to put one on late on Colorado, they'll do so. So I like the, I think the dream season for Colorado comes to an end and then some with a blowout loss.
Okay, next up we have Alabama off to a disappointing start this season. You can get them inside of a touchdown, 6.5-point spread favoring the Crimson Tide. They're taking on Mississippi. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, you mentioned disappointment. Yeah, I would argue Alabama's been the biggest disappointment so far this college football season, but that's why we're laying less than a touchdown here. When this line, you could have bet in the summer markets, the game of the year markets at multiple sports books, it was north of 2 touchdowns. Alabama was like a 14.5, 15-point favorite in this game. Ole Miss has covered every game so far. I'm here to tell you, kind of phony, fraudulent. Took advantage of a Tulane team with a backup quarterback, and really were outplayed in that game. If you turn it on in the middle of fourth quarter, Ole Miss is only up by 3. You look at the final, they won by 17. Was not as dominating as the final. Speaking of that, last week, you turn on the middle of the fourth quarter, they're up by 10 against Georgia Tech. They end up winning 48-23. Not that gameplay was not as dominant as the final indicated. So I think Ole Miss is a little bit overrated right now. Alabama a little underrated. I get it. They're probably off their worst performance in any game in 15 years. But I like the move back to Jalen Milroe at quarterback, provided he's not turning it over, which is a big what if. I think Alabama will have success against an overrated Ole Miss defense. Let's lay the 6.5 with Alabama.
Alabama. Okay. Last but not least, Clemson. Tight spread here, 2-point spread. They're taking on Florida State. Who do you like here?
I'll take the home underdog. And speaking of that, doesn't happen very often with Clemson. First time in 7 years, in fact. You got to go back to when Lamar Jackson was playing at Louisville, a game that Clemson won and covered in that one as a short home underdog. It's not just that, though. I'm worried about the health of Jordan Travis, the Florida State quarterback, a little bit banged up in the BC game. How much is he going to be involved in the quarterback run game? We'll get a good look at that early on. Also, the fact that I worry about the Florida State back end, multiple breakdowns yet again against Boston College last week. And I think everyone kind of threw Clemson in the trash after the Duke performance on Labor Day night. I think they play their A game. Give me Clemson +2.
Okay, so we talked about Alabama. We said, you know, I think it's pretty clear that they're probably the most disappointing team here so far this season. It's still, you know, only a couple games in, but I think that's fair to say. Who else hasn't really lived up to preseason expectations and that you would view as a pretty big disappointment?
Well, I would say the biggest downgrade, I don't care who we are, you know, across the country, would have to be Arizona State. Let's talk about results because that's what matters. Arizona State's 0-3 against the number, failing to cover by 22 points per game. That's incredibly bad. What's even worse is the fact that you look at the Arizona State's quarterback situation. They might be down to a 4-string quarterback this week. Everybody's been injured. You look at last week's game, I mean, forget trying to take a snap. I mean, that's what they struggled with. I mean, you're looking at an Arizona State team that had 8 turnovers last week from the quarterbacks. I'm not sure it's getting better anytime soon. They have USC this week. They're a 35-point home underdog. This one you could have bet in the summer. USC was right around a 14-point favorite, and now it's 35. Honestly, as bad as it's been for Arizona State, let's see how this line continues to move over the course of the next 48 hours. Continues to creep up. I'm not afraid to bet the most disappointing team in the country because I think too many people are throwing them in the trash.
Okay, let's talk a little Caleb Williams here. Off to a great start this season. Clearly, obviously, still the favorite to win the Heisman. Human highlight reel. Seems to become a bigger star with each passing week. And we do see this every couple of years in college football, where we have a quarterback prospect, a surefire number one prospect pick in the NFL draft. The suck for luck. We saw with Trevor Lawrence. We kind of had it with Tua, and then he got hurt, and then kind of Joe Burrow stepped into those shoes. So how do you think Caleb Williams stacks up as a prospect versus other guys who were in those shoes in recent years?
It's a really good question. He's certainly better than the last couple of years of prospects that we've had come out. Probably the best prospect since Trevor Lawrence. But what's concerning to me is obviously he's in a very offensive friendly system with Lincoln Riley. And that's kind of, you know, been hit or miss as far as his quarterbacks at the next level, Baker Mayfield. And obviously, you know, we'll see with Jalen Hurts. He's playing well. But you know, Kyler Murray, not a good look there. So yeah, I'm a little concerned in that regard. I think that here's what I can safely say. The quarterback class for this upcoming season, including Caleb Williams, Drake May, and everybody, you can go down the list, is as deep and as talented and as good of a quarterback class as we've seen in recent NFL draft history.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that works out, because you do have some really bad teams in the NFL that have quarterbacks signed to long-term big money contracts. The Arizona Cardinals, the Denver Broncos, just to name a few. So it'll be interesting to see how that looks by the time the NFL draft gets here in April. That is a very long time away. Okay, Brad, that does it for today. Thank you very much for joining the show today. Best of luck with your bets on the weekend.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. The man right there. Make sure you follow him. He knows his stuff when it comes to college football. And that does it for today's show. In and out in about a half hour here, including a little curling talk off the top of the show. Quick reminder, though, guys, if you like the show, it's very easy to let us know. You just hit that like button right down there. We have our fancy subscribe graphic. That is epic motion graphics right there. We paid a lot of money for that one, so we want to get our money's worth out of it. So hit that subscribe button right down there. Also, if you're not able to watch the show live, we do have a podcast version. You can find that wherever you find your podcast. And let us know in the comment section right down there what you think of our picks and what your best bets are for tonight and for this weekend. That does it for today. We'll see you again tomorrow, same time, same place. Best of luck with your bets tonight.